Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
And welcome. I'm so glad that you've been able to join us today, whether it's by accident or whether it's intentional. So glad that you've been able to come to the Legacy and Faith Show. We're going to be talking more about the faith part of the title of the show. Usually we're talking about a lot of legacy. We're talking about estate planning. We're talking about how to protect a biblical legacy and how to pass that on. But today we're going to concentrate more on the faith journey of our life here. And I have the distinct privilege of having my pastor in the studio with me, and we're going to open up kind of a continuation from where we were last week, which is I started the discussion of the parable of the sower and the seed. And so in studio with me is Pastor Brandon Beals. He is the founder and the lead pastor of Venture Church. And Brandon, I think this time of having you in is a little bit overdue since I've been doing this for a couple of years. So welcome.
Yeah, I'm just glad you finally were willing to have me come.
That's right. We haven't banned you or anything, so it's good.
No, and you brought me in the Monday right after Easter.
I know. And so this should be awesome. Well, as you heard, I've kind of set up the parable of the sower and the seed. I gave a little bit of discussion last week. And so again, you can head over to legacyandfaith.com and listen to past podcasts. So if you wanted to get updated on kind of what was shared last week, please head over to there. But I wanted to have just a different voice and a different discussion, kind of a round table. So we're just going to take it as we go. There's really no agenda here other than let's just talk about God's word, because I don't know about you, but it is the most exciting thing in my life is just to be able to sit down and talk about Jesus and talk about his goodness. So parable of the sower and the seed. You know, Jesus in Mark says that if you don't understand this parable, then how are you going to understand any other parable? Now I kind of look at that and I say, okay, if Jesus has set the stage with this specific discussion, then why is this parable so foundational and so critical to a Christian and their journey of faith?
Well, I would say my assumption with what Jesus alluded to in Mark was he was talking kind of about the state of our heart. Whenever we read the word, this really illustrates how our personal heart responds to scripture. And Jesus is explaining that if you don't understand this parable, then you're going to miss all of these other things that I'm trying to help you understand and teach you through the word, or I'm going to teach you through these other parables if you don't understand this one. It really illustrates our heart in response to the gospel.
Yeah, and so and I think that this is a parable that continues with believers. I don't think this is just a salvation call, but rather, you know, there's different areas of my life where I may have extraordinary faith and feel very solid in my life. And then there are other areas in Paul Grant's life where I struggle or I may not match exactly where I'm supposed to be as a believer yet. And what I find is that as we walk through these four steps, that this is really a journey about how we're going to receive the word and whether we're going to hold on to it and capture that word to allow the maturity of the word to come to full fruit. Talk to us a little bit about what does it mean? I mean, what's the proper state that our hearts should be in, whether it's walking into church, whether it's a time of devotional that we sit before the Lord and actually crack open the word? Where should our hearts be when we venture into the word of God?
Yeah, I'm sure we're going to cover this part too, but I would say one of the primary applications of this for me as a pastor, especially a pastor who has the heart of an evangelist, is, you know, you really just spread your seed and you understand the types of soil that it's going to fall on. So it really is applicable to sharing the gospel. But in particular, as it comes to me, as I study the word or as I teach people the Bible, that whether they've grown up in church, found Christ at our church, or they're new followers of Jesus, it really illustrates that we want to be people whose hearts are fertile, who, like, we are the fertile soil that we hear God's word and it penetrates our heart and it grows. And then when storms come and trials come, when a national pandemic comes and a mask mandate come, we're not the people that are like the seed that was spread in thorn, that thorns grow up and eventually tangle it, and all these issues of life kind of steer us off course. We want to be people that are just saying, Jesus, I'm open. If there's more of you I want to learn, if there's more of you to have, there's more of you I want to learn, I'm just open to your word. And at the same time, I'm open that I don't know everything and I might be heading in the wrong direction, and I will allow your gospel to penetrate my life in such a way that I'll change course.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. 'Cause, you know, we've spent our entire lifetime, at least for most of us, being trained by the thought processes of this world. For many of us, we grew up in a secular environment for education. Many of us don't come from a background of Christianity. We didn't have the luxury of growing up with parents that knew the word and taught us the word. And so I really find that there is an untraining that we need to go through, because our first response as individuals is, okay, what's the easiest way out for me? We don't like, you mentioned trials and tribulations. We don't like trials and tribulations. We want Christianity to be kind of the cure-all and say, well, then this means I get an easy life. This means I get a pass. And if it doesn't work out exactly as I thought it was going to work out, then what I find is that we oftentimes put God on trial instead of ourselves on trial. Somehow, if something didn't come to pass as I thought or I see it in Scripture, then it must have been God's fault. God, why didn't you? And what I have found in my own personal life is the more I become self-reflective, and really this portion of Scripture has helped me remain very self-reflective of saying, okay, did I intervene on what I am supposed to be taking out from the Word? Have I allowed that Word to penetrate the depths of my heart so that I can grow up and be a mature believer and stay focused and centered on Christ and His Word, knowing that He has never changed? He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So I know that the foundation of everything I believe is that He has not changed in my life. He has not changed in circumstances. He hasn't changed in a pandemic. He hasn't changed in an election. He hasn't changed whether I have more money or less money, whether my business is good or bad. He is always stable.
Yeah, for me, I have these three foundational beliefs, and I think they are like the three core things that I hold on to as a minister, regardless what is going on in our world. So it's how I'm able to stay the course as it pertains to the mission of my life, the mission of Venture Church. And I just fundamentally believe these things, and they're like these rock solid pillars that I won't move. And it is that I believe Jesus is the hope of the world, period.
Absolutely.
He's the hope of the world. I also believe that the gospel changes lives. So that really shows me what my mission as a preacher is. I want to introduce people to Jesus. I want to represent Jesus well, and I want to preach the gospel. I don't believe my creative stories change people's lives. I don't believe my opinion changes people's lives, but I believe as I teach the Bible, it will rock people's world. And then I also have this fundamental belief as a minister that the church is the institution, through all of its imperfections, that God chose to use to spread the good news. So those are like these foundational beliefs in my life. I did another radio show on the East Coast last week, and I kind of shared the story that when I first committed my life to Christ, I didn't grow up in church. So I didn't grow up with church tradition. I didn't grow up with traditional teaching or traditional beliefs and things. So I didn't go to church, got saved, started going to church. And so at first I believed everything. Like if the preacher said it, I mean, he was like Jesus to me, and I just believed everything. And, there came a point, especially when I went to Bible college and I started studying theology and studying the interpretation of scripture and studying original language, where I was like, wow, I was taught this at first and that wasn't totally accurate. And I think what happens for a lot of people, especially those that were raised in church. I mean, they started in Sunday school classes and then youth classes, and then they're in the young adults group, and then they grew up in the church, and then they just have always just kind of believed what they were taught. And there were right. a lot of traditions that were passed down, or teachings that were passed down, that as our ability to travel changed and we're actually mm-hmm. able to go to Israel and see Israel, or as our ability to acquire information became easier. So now, like, the average person can find a scripture, look it up in the original language, and get five different interpretations of what that scripture was. You didn't even have that information 10 years ago. And I think what's happening to some people is their faith just gets rocked to the core over and over again, because they grew up just believing this, and there was absolutely no possibility that maybe as I dove deeper into the word, I would find out that my pastor's opinion when I was 5 years old wasn't completely accurate, and it totally messed with their world. And I think that is another example of the sower here. You just have to be – wherever you spread your seed, you need to realize that you're going to have these responses. But then in addition – you, as a person who dives into God's word, you want to make sure that you are fertile soil. But at the same time, you have to understand that, you know, we're people that we've grown up with certain perspectives and we have strong opinions about things. And our perspectives and our opinions actually affect our ability to interpret the Bible oftentimes. And when those things get challenged, there's some people, they're just kind of an open book and they're open to change and they're open to new ideas. But for a lot of Christians, they just hold on to these tightly wound traditions and beliefs that they've had their entire life. And to think that there might be another perspective, it really rocks their world.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's really what a lot of this is talking about, is that our hearts need to be in a place to where we're willing to receive that revelation. This is a living document, because he is alive, because he lives within us. We can, by the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit, gain revelation and knowledge that takes us away from those staunch traditions and move us into more relationship with him. And so, so having a heart that is willing to receive the word and the word alone, to allow that to come upon us and transform us into something new again, is a very powerful and necessary part of our continued Christian maturity. Romans 12, 1 and 2, by the renewing of your mind, be transformed, not by the staunch traditions that were in the background. And so, well, we are up against a break here. And so, number one is that, Brandon, how can people find Venture Church?
You can find Venture Church online, ourventure.church. If you would like, you can also follow me on Twitter, and my Twitter handle is at FightPastor, FightPastor. And that's also my Instagram handle, but you can find our church or me through those avenues.
Fantastic. And you can find the Legacy and Faith Show at legacyandfaith.com. And we will be right back after this brief break. Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
And welcome back to the Legacy and Faith Show. I'm here with my pastor, Pastor Brandon Beals of Venture Church. And we're talking about the parable of the sower and the seed. And Brandon, you mentioned something that that kind of touches my heart, which is that many people hold on to things from when they were a child. And now I've walked with Christ for over 35 years, and my children have grown up in the church, and they have a foundation of the Word. But what I've noticed is that they need to make a discovery of Jesus himself for themselves. They can't rest upon what mom and dad, or let me put it this way, they can only rest upon what mom and dad have told them for a period of time. And I think that this parable of the sower and the seed is very relevant in the Christian world as well, that people find Christ, or the journey of the parable of the sower and the seed is we try to bring others to know salvation, whether it's somebody who's grown up in the church or whether it's somebody who is on the outside in the world looking in. We want them to come to the saving knowledge and revelation of Jesus Christ, to snatch somebody from the depths of hell and bring them into eternal salvation. What else is there in this world? So as a pastor, what do you see from your perspective as it relates to the parable of the sower and seed, being in ministry specifically?
Yeah, I'll refer first to what you were talking about with what we want for our kids. I call that the moment where if someone is raised in church, and obviously I want my kids to serve Jesus their whole life.
Absolutely.
I mean, they were raised in church. I want them to have the upbringing experience that I didn't have. That honestly, I was envious of a lot of other people, because when I went to Bible college, I always joke whenever I teach this that I had only been a follower of Jesus for 3 years, and I discovered who Abraham was in Bible college. That
right.
The hardest class I ever took in Bible college was Bible survey, which the average church kid is like the easiest A class for them because they learned it all in Sunday school. But when you didn't grow up in Sunday school,
you actually have to study that stuff.
Oh, learning the books of the Bible in order and how to spell them correctly was really complicated. But, you know, it was my dream for my kids. But I think there's a key point where everyone that is grown up in our faith has to have, I call it an aha moment with Jesus, where they have to have a personal encounter with Jesus, where it transitions from being this faith that has really formulated our family, that my parents deeply believed or my grandparents deeply believed, where I personally own it. And the other side of this, I say there is a lot of people that were raised in church, and I call it they got saved through osmosis. They just kind of got saved through their environment.
But because they were there.
Yeah, they never really had an encounter with Jesus that changed your life. And again, as you would be able to relate to, when you truly are fertile soil and you encounter Jesus, everything changes.
Oh, it's life-changing.
And it doesn't necessarily change overnight, but the closer you get to Jesus, you just think, you know what, I want to adjust this and I want to do that. And I mean, it changed the entire course of my life. My life pre-Jesus was I wanted to be an attorney.
Oops. I know. Well, I'm glad you got off that one.
I'm really good at arguing, so that'd have been great. But it changed the whole course of my life. And that now as a minister, I relate so well to this parable because I have the heart of an evangelist. And my favorite thing, Easter Sunday, we had a total of 7 services, and every service we gave an altar call for people to get saved. And the highlight of the service was watching people commit their life to Christ every single service. And it just kind of reminded me over and over again, this is why we do what we do. And so I love that. When I was first doing ministry, I was very naive. I assumed everyone was like me. And yeah. Again, I get saved. I immediately figure out habits that I had that were affecting my relationship with Jesus. And I stopped doing them and I made all of these life adjustments. And honestly, from the moment that I really committed my life to Christ, I never really strayed to the left or right. It was just, I was like a rocket ship to him.
Nice.
So I assumed everybody was like that.
Right.
Then I become a preacher and then I start seeing people get saved. And I assumed everybody was that way. So I assumed everybody was going to be a rocket ship. They were going to change the whole course of their life and everyone was going to want to do full-time ministry.
How did that work out for you?
Well, the first few times I watched the seed be sprout up in rocks, and the example that Jesus uses is that it sprouts up really quickly.
Yes.
And I mean, we've all had people in our churches that are like, they are so on fire for Jesus.
Yeah.
It is insane. And I always say they like came out of the salvation gate on a sprint, and you can only sprint for so long. And as soon as they get tired, they like crash. And I would begin to watch that specifically as a youth pastor over and over and over again. And what I would say, what I've seen this year is there were people that got saved and the thorns kind of grew up around them. And all of the tension of this year was the most trying time for their faith. I kept telling everybody throughout the pandemic that nothing changed for Venture Church.
Mm.
Like, even though we weren't having in-person services, we've always had services. We were
right.
we just pivoted to online, and our mission never changed. And our mission is to love our neighbor as ourself. And we continued to do everything that we were doing before other than have live gatherings. But there were people that just all the challenges, the debate over masks, the political climate that happened this year, then the racial tension this year, all of these thorns that creeped up really dramatically changed their entire faith in Jesus. And so I've watched that happen.
Yeah, I guess in watching the past year, I think that we've found out who is really who at the zoo. Is that it has really brought to surface the stability or the instability of people around us and how connected they really are and how stable they really are in their belief system of whether or not it jogged them to the left or to the right or whether they stayed down center lane and really continued on this journey of faith with Christ himself. And so I know that you've seen it throughout the church and through multiple different examples. And so as we want to bring people to Christ, as we kind of take on the role as believers of giving out the seed, it can be discouraging to see these effects. It can be discouraging to watch people go left and right, or it can be discouraging to be planting seeds in somebody and never really have them respond. What would you say to the person who is out there, who is doing their best to live a life that is worthy of their calling and giving out the gospel and maybe not seeing the fruit that they were really hoping to see? Like I said, that can get discouraging. What would you say to that person? How have you remained on target and faithful with joy, right? Do not grow weary in well-doing is what the word says. So how do we not grow weary, specifically after a year like what we've had?
I come back to what are the foundational beliefs of my life. And I just come back to, regardless of whatever I see happening around me, the way I see people responding, whatever it is, I believe Jesus is the hope of the world and that the gospel changes lives. And I come back to that and I have no control over someone's response to it.
Yes.
And I always go back to, I think probably the most helpful series I ever did, it was years ago. And now I've preached through this book three times. But when I first preached through the book of Acts, I was fascinated by what happened to Paul when he was in Athens. And now that I've had the privilege, I've traveled to Athens, I've seen Athens firsthand, and Athens was a place where they worshipped literally everything. They had a god for everything. They had a statue that everyone could worship at for every god. The Bible talks about, and I always joke about it, that they even had a statue to an unknown god. It was just in case we missed something that you worshipped. And so Paul is in a place where you would think the people would be totally open to hearing about Jesus because they're open to hearing about everything. And he tells the story in Acts chapter 17 where he's preaching and he's talking about the resurrection of the dead. And we just came from Easter Sunday with the resurrection, and it just was like it gaslit everybody. And he says that some people just mocked him, thought this is the most obscene thing they'd ever heard. And then there were other people that said, Paul, want to hear you more on the subject. And then a verse later, it says, but many people believed. And that's what I've always concluded about doing ministry, is that some will mock me. Some will say, I'll come back next week, hear more. Other people will respond in faith.
And that's really what we need to stay on course with as well, is that we have to really entrust God himself with where we have been called. And our faith isn't what I can do. It's not in what Brandon can do. It's not in what anyone else can do. But our faith ultimately rests upon the one who has given us the faith, which is he is good. He is passionately after people, even more so than us combined and anyone else. So, Brandon, how do people get in touch with you? Number one, thank you for coming in today and hanging out with me, talking about the sower and the seed. If people are interested in Venture Church, how do they get in contact with you?
People can find us on our website, ourventure.church. They can also follow me on Instagram or Twitter, and my handle is at fightpastor, FIGHTPASTOR.
And thank you so much for coming in today. And thank you for listening to the Legacy and Faith Show. If you'd like more information about what we do, head over to legacyandfaith.com. There are past podcasts. There are educational workshops coming up about how you can leave a biblical legacy to your family. And there's ways to communicate with us. So head over to legacyandfaith.com. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.